King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I was sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
On Thursdays, right here in this slot, as we start guesting it up. TJ, good morning to you, sir.
How you doing, bud?
I was going to try and coax you. I know you can't make it, but spring commitments is a week from tomorrow. Here's what I'm going to do to bribe you, although I know you can't come. I've got some Pappies, I have some Elmer T. Lee, and I have some moonshine from East Tennessee, the hills of East Tennessee, that Popcorn Sutton gave me that I've never cracked open, that he gave me when he was still alive many years ago. How's that?
Whew. Man. If I didn't have these, the problem is I would get to try all that and then come home dead because my wife would kill me. So, I mean, that's really what what we're talking about trading here.
Correct.
And that's a steep trade.
True, very true. Jim and Jupiter. Jim, some of that was a lie, too. I don't think I possess all of that.
But. Oh, you're going to kill me for some, a bottle of blends.
Jim and Jupiter. Bill, ask TJ. Says we run ruled Florida baseball and Florida softball, and Florida State is going to beat the bleep. Oh, this is just a statement. Out of Florida in November in football, too. I guess that's just his statement.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a run. I think, Florida State, like you said, the first game against Florida was kind of close. I think it was like a 7-run game, and then they scored a couple in the ninth to make it look a little better, and then Florida State won by 4. But then, yeah, run ruled the baseball team twice and run ruled the softball team last night. I took my daughter to Gainesville and had a bunch of fun there. And yeah, I mean, I like us to win in November, too. Hopefully it's by another drubbing. But I've seen some Gator fans that have just said, like, yeah, anytime we see Florida State on the schedule here recently, it certainly isn't our favorite night. So hopefully that can continue. But you know how this thing goes.
I will ask you, because I guess we'll keep asking until Florida State finds their new league, but is there anything new in the lawsuit pursuit?
We got a delay in the Tallahassee case. Basically, the judge said, this wasn't you didn't file this perfectly, you didn't file this correctly, so you kind of get a do-over here. So we're, not starting from scratch, but kind of backing up a little bit in that case. So, I mean, but this is just what it is. You're going to have delays, and you're going to have refilings, and you're going to have, appeals every step of the way. Florida State's currently appealing what happened in North Carolina with them. They tried to get the case tossed out, and the judge says, no, I'm not tossing the case. And now Florida State's appealing that. And so the wheels of justice are just going to take a while. But, no, nothing like detrimental. The refiling of the first lawsuit is what is going on right now in Florida. And then we've got an update coming on the 2nd. I believe they're back in court in North Carolina.
TJ Pittenger on Thursdays joins us. Few days left of this 15-day portal window. Is Florida State very active?
I think they're a little bit active. I think, you know, but I also don't think the portal is as crazy as it was being hyped up to be. You know, we were hearing that teams were just going to be radically decimated by, you know, people coming in and just taking all of their players, and, you know, teams that you thought were going to be contenders are no longer going to be contenders, and teams you weren't even thinking about being contenders are now going to be fighting for it all. And I haven't seen that. You look at a team like Florida, who has had three, you know, not to pile on them this morning, but, you know, whatever, who cares? They, you know, they've had three losing seasons, and they're over-under in Vegas this year is 5.5. If there was any team that was going to get robbed of what little good players they have, like, wouldn't Florida be a prime candidate for that? You know, like, hey, guys, come play for a team that's not going to win 4 or 5 games this year. They ain't lost anybody. You know, and Florida State's not. I mean, Florida State will lose a couple more guys because they're over the scholarship limit. But, you know, Miami, they've lost maybe one or two guys they wanted to keep, and they've lost quite a few guys trying to get under the scholarship limit. But, yeah, so they're active, but the portal is just not. You know, this spring window, I think people try and hype it up every year. I don't really know why, but every year it just underwhelms. And so, I don't know, maybe with a few days left, it'll, you know, 700 five stars will jump in there, but I'm not holding my breath on that.
Got a question from Josh in Warner Robins, Georgia. Says, Bill, ask TJ, what's the latest on Malik Benson and his potential injury at the spring game?
Yeah, I've been told he's fine. I think he got rolled up on. It's probably an ankle, but, you know, not something that's going to be long-term. Yeah, in fact, I've heard he's, like, you know, kind of fine now. But certainly not something that would last into the fall. So I think he's all good. I've heard TJ Ferguson's all good, too. That one was one that worried me a little bit more, the way he was pounding the ground and grabbing at his knee. You just kind of felt like that might have been something really, really bad. But I've kind of heard he's good, too. So, yeah, I don't think there are any real injury issues right now with Florida State, which is a good thing.
We know Mike Norvell has a structure and what he does offensively, but what will it look like under DJU? What will be different?
Man, I think they're going to try and take as much pressure off of DJU as they can, because I think they run the ball extremely well. Their offensive line, you remember a few years ago when their offensive line was like the worst in the ACC? Like, it was just like, wow, this is Florida State. Their offensive line, I'd say, is like, you know, average to maybe slightly above average. But what they do really, really well is they do run block really well. And then I think they're pretty average at pass blocking. And so I think that they will run the ball a lot, maybe 60 to 65% of the time, because they're really good at it. And they're going to be really good at it. They're going to, you know, I was joking today or this week on a show, like, have you ever been to Disney and ridden the people mover? Like, that's what they are. They are people movers. And I think that'll make them really effective running the ball this year. And I think that'll take a lot of pressure off DJ. I also think that DJ looked really good when he was rolling out and kind of a little bit mobile. And I think that's something they did with Jordan. They got him kind of outside of the pocket. If you're not, you know, if you're, and I don't think Florida State's offensive line is bad by any means, but if you're not, like, just elite at giving a quarterback 7 seconds back there to throw, then you do. You need to roll him out a little bit, and you need to kind of get him on the move, kind of take advantage of some chipping and stuff like that, and be pretty intuitive in the way that you're trying to beat really good rushes. Now, against teams like, you know, Georgia Tech and SMU, yeah, I expect them to block really, really well. But when you play the Clemsons and you play the Miamis and you play the Floridas that have a little more talent, then, you know, I expect Norvell to be a little more creative. But I expect him to really, really lean on the run and then just try and put DJ in good situations and let him kind of excel there.
Was quarterback out of Savannah and signed with Florida State, Luke Kromenhoke, was he there this spring?
He was, yeah. He got hurt right before the spring game, kind of a non-football injury, so he didn't play in the spring game. But, yeah, he was good. He was there, and they even said, like, early in spring, he made a few throws, he did a couple of things, and, you know, he's just still a true freshman, right? Been on campus for a couple of months. But they said, like, we can see it. You know, we can see why there was the hype and why there was the excitement. And I think he finished, like, the number 32 overall player in the country, so one spot out of being a five-star. So, yeah, you know, essentially a five-star talent type kid. Like, they see it. Now, he's not anywhere close. And I don't really want to see him take the field this year unless we're just up by like 60. But I am excited for him for sure for the future.
Once we get through this year, the 24 season, though, the future is his probably, right?
Yeah, it'll be between him and Brock Glenn, you know, and you know, and I think both kids are really, really good kids, and so I'm not trying to say like one of them's going to end up transferring, but I could see like if Brock was to win that job, and or Luke was to win that job and kind of pass up the older guy, I certainly don't know if Brock would stick around or not at that point, but you know, Brock was a true freshman last year and was able to do enough to get Florida State an ACC championship. And then he looks a little bit better against Georgia, actually threw for more yardage than Milroe did against Michigan. And so you do that as a true freshman and don't have any of your weapons out there. It's not terrible. So we'll see. They really like Brock Glenn still a lot too. And obviously only one guy can play. And I think Luke has a higher ceiling, but does being in the system a couple of years help Brock and maybe put him in position to win the job in 25? Maybe. But I do think they're pretty optimistic about both kids and what the future could look like with either one of them.
Do you agree with this theory that is, I don't know if I'd say permeating, but it's out there slightly, and that's the Virginia Tech Hokies will be a threat this year on the field?
I mean, a threat to do what, right? Can we jump in on that? Like, a threat to upset some teams and, you know, maybe knock you off if you're not on your A game? Sure, I would agree with that. I mean, I think they cut the Florida State. Yeah, I think Florida State was up like 17-0, and they cut it to like 17-10 or something like that, right? I think they got kind of close. A threat to win the ACC? I don't buy that. I don't know that I think they could be there. I think it's pretty distinct with Florida State and Clemson at the top, Miami and NC State kind of in that next tier. If Louisville can ever stop bleeding players, I'd probably put them, you know, just around that NC State kind of level. But then I think I'd have Virginia Tech after that. Like, I think they'd have to climb, like, over five or six teams to really, you know, have a chance. Or maybe just four, right, to get into the ACC championship. But I don't know. I think they're a threat in the way of, like, they could be really sneaky good, but I don't think they can win the conference this year.
Oh, I didn't finish the question. A threat to play Enter Sandman when the game begins. How about that?
Yeah, that I would say yes. So we won't upset the Virginia Tech people. Big time threat for that.
I will say this, way off topic, but it's the non-playing portion. That might be the best entrance in college football. I know the spear and everything down there is good. It's fantastic. Enter Sandman stuff to beat.
Yeah, I'm not agreeing that it's better than planting spear in midfield, but I will say it's top two or three. It's definitely better than petting a rock and running down a hill like it's kindergarten. So.
Touching some rock from a desert in California. Yeah.
What in the world are we doing? You know, we ride a bus around the stadium, we run down a hill, and we pet a rock. Again, that's K-5.
See you next week, sir. Appreciate it.
See you, bro.
Yeah, Enter Sandman's tough to beat. All right, we'll get the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. It's still pretty heavy right now as we check it out live over here on 40 going eastbound, trying to make your way through Kingston Springs this morning. Actually, it looks like they crashed just before you get into Kingston Springs there on 40 going eastbound. Keep that in mind as you come up out of Dixon County towards Kingston Springs. Traffic's on the increase even more now on 65 south over here at Trinity Lane. It's loading up pretty good on 24 westbound. Coming out of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, passing 840. Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on a brand new menu. Check them out today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is proudly saluting our first responders. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by the Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Attention business owners, WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch.
Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tomorrow night, it's a big interleague matchup at Truist Park in Atlanta as Austin Riley and the Braves take on the Cleveland Guardians.
Pre-game coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The Bill King Show, originating live from downtown Music City from the Strike and Spare Studios. Call or text the studio now at 615-844-5600. The Bill King Show.
Efforting Dave Hooker here. Hour from now, J.C. Sherbert over in Chicago. We'll check in. BigSpur.com, his South Carolina site. Topwater Assassin Clemson fan says, I can tell you all you need to know about DJU. One game, he'll look like the best quarterback in the league. I pray to God it's not against Clemson. Most games, you'll get a lot of him missing 10-yard passes. I thought he played pretty well at Oregon State this last year. I thought he took his game consistently up to another level. But, yes, DJU has not been what I thought he would be. And I just want to repeat. His freshman year, true freshman year, he gets the start against Notre Dame in South Bend because Pretty Boy was out. And he looked fantastic. He looked like a five-star that he was ranked, and he lived up to every bit of it. He was terrific in that game. And I thought, okay, whenever it's his turn, Pretty Boy moves on, then they've got a fantastic quarterback in the waiting, and it just never materialized. It wasn't consistent. Yes, as Topwater Assassin said, he'll flash. He may have a game where you go, wow, Do you get the continuation? Do you get the updated validation? And to date, the answer is probably no. But he's been solid for the most part. And Mike Norvell is a fantastic quarterback coach. Let's also recognize that. Topwater Assassin Bill, you mentioned Lemanski Hall earlier. 99% sure he was on that 92 team. I think he was Dabo's roommate. Maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe. I remember we were at baseball practice and we were talking about that defense. And he was talking about playing against Heath Shuler. Heath Shuler was arguably his senior year in North Carolina, the top-ranked quarterback in America. The other one, as we know, was Eric Zier. That same year went to Georgia out of Marietta. And Heath was a pure country boy. 6'2", about 6'3", 225, and I mean just muscles everywhere. I don't mean like weight room muscles. I just mean just naturally stout dude. Physical, strong, athletic, had a really big arm and all that. And his freshman, his sophomore year. Sophomore year. They played Alabama. I believe that was the 92 season. And it was in Knoxville, and Alabama had a generational defense. It was that 92 just phenomenal Alabama defense. And Lemanski Hall was explaining how one of the best licks he ever laid in his life was on Heath Shuler, and he said, I hit him right here, and he pointed to his ear hole. Like, they got him right there. And I mean, he was just, again, this is a guy that was a very physical football player, weighed about 215, 218. But he was just talking about that game. And Tennessee, like most teams, didn't get much done offensively against that team. Very few people did. Yeah, very, very few people got much done against that team. I was just thinking about that team. Curry and Copeland were the defensive ends, both just absolute beasts. The guy that played either the zero or the three, he was interior D-line, was James Gregory. I think they got him out of Missouri. Jeremy Dunley rotated some on that team. He's from Winchester, Tennessee. He was a very good defensive lineman from them. If you're looking at the linebackers, I remember Antonio London, because he's from Tullahoma, Tennessee. They had Derek Oden, who was fantastic. And you know what? You're right. I forgot. I left out, but Lemanski Hall absolutely was on that team. Yeah, he was. In the second year, they had Antonio Langham. They had Sam Shade. George Teague. That team was full of superstars. Full of superstars. But yeah, Lemanski Hall was excellent. Yeah, he was excellent. Appreciate that from Topwater Assassin. Down to Jupiter. Jim, welcome in.
So, Billy, too many people think that DJU needs to be great. He just needs to be good. And I saw Mike Norvell was able to make – Jordan Travis couldn't throw a forward pass. We were horrible and had no quarterback with Club Willie, and they only could put Jordan in to run because he couldn't throw. So I am very confident that Norvell will have DJU to where he's good. He's not going to be great. He's not a five-star. He's not what he was coming out of high school. But you know what he is? He can be good. And like TJ said, we're going to be running the ball this year. So you run, you wear down defenses, and the one thing that kid has, well, he's not a kid anymore, that dude's got an arm, and we're going to be able to extend the field in a way that we haven't been able to do because Jordan didn't have the arm, you know?
Well, DJU's about 6'4", 242. He's a big dude.
Oh, he's a huge guy. And what I'd like to see, the biggest part of his game that I want to see him, you know, there's two things. He wasn't very accurate, okay? So hopefully Norvell can help him there. But he, for being such a big guy, at least at Clemson, it seemed like that he did not want to run. And he's obviously not Jordan with his legs, but we're going to need this 245-pound running back to convert those third and threes and those fourth and twos. That's where we got to, I mean, this is it for him. I think they brought him in. It's like, man, you got to do whatever it takes, and we're going to run you on those, you know, those short yardage plays, and you need to be willing to do that. That's what I want to see him. And I'm not saying he's soft at all. He's obviously not soft. Just some people just aren't runners, but he needs to be willing to do that. His arm will be able to stretch the field. Now, we need Benson, the wide receiver from Bama, to step up. He was stepping up at the end of spring, and he actually had a couple good catches in that, you know, that whatever you call that, what I call drinking, you'd go to drink natty. But we're going to go get another wide receiver. We need one. The wide receiver room has not progressed the way we need it. We're going to need a guy that can come in and help out there. But back to my topic, DJU is going to be fine. He's not going to be great, though. Never. But he's definitely not going to be some slappy. He'll be good.
Is there anybody in this portal that they're going to get at receiver?
Well, I mean, we were going after that Penn State dude, and he's already signed. I think he signed with Auburn. So are we going to get Keon Coleman this time? No. But is there a guy out there that, you know, had 25, 30 catches that you can, you know, project a little bit, that's the kind of dude that we're going to get? We got some good. I mean, Hakeem Williams is going to be really good, but it just hasn't, you know, he's young. And Destin Hill's probably out for the year. I mean, that hasn't been said, but, you know, we're going to have to bring in a dude. So that's where we're going in the portal. And we, you know, the NCAA, of course, the rest of college football can do whatever the hell they want, but, you know, they made Florida State to where technically we can't contact players this first week, which is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous for something that happened 3 years ago. I mean, come on. But don't even get me started about that joke of a organization. But, yeah, we're going to be good, and we're going to beat up on Perry's team, and it's going to be real nice. And Tom's going to owe me a real nice bottle of bourbon because Sunbelt Billy won't even be there by the time we play. You all have a great day.
Hey, what bottle did you get last time in that bet?
I got a bottle of Old Forester, 1920. Old Forester, that 1910 and 1920 are absolutely delicious. That bottle's long gone. So, but thank you, Tom. Tom is really helped me with my bourbon consumption because he keeps losing bets to me. But he's a real good dude.
I had somebody tell me that it was either the 20, the 1920, or maybe the 1870 was almost the spitting image taste-wise of Eagle Rare.
Oh, I don't know if I agree with that being taste-wise, but I'll tell you right now, I would say it's as good, both of those. The 1910 and 1920 is just a higher proof, I put up there. And you know, I've told you before, until recently, Eagle Rare is my favorite bourbon for the price point because you could get Eagle Rare for, you know, $35. It was right. Such a it was such a good deal, and it's a damn really great bourbon. But if you were to tell me, you know, if you were to throw down a bottle of Old Forester 1910 or 1920 and a and Eagle Rare, I mean, I consider them very, you know, they're the same when it comes to what right. what I would like. I don't think they taste exactly the same. I wouldn't go there, but man, those three bourbons are really, really good. Problem is, Eagle Rare is getting damn rare to get down here. And they've jacked the price up to it's about $70 a bottle now.
All right, Jim, be good, buddy. Appreciate it.
You all
it,
have
man.
Fun at Commitments. I'm really gonna be sad. I can't be doing all these trips and stuff with Ireland coming. You know, I gotta save money to get bailed out of that Irish jail.
Okay. See you, man. Very funny. Michael in Atlanta. Bill, speaking of the 92 Bama defense, Curry and Copeland may be the best combination of defensive ends I've seen. I'd have to say they're right up there. I haven't gone through with a fine-tooth comb year to year and thought that out, but that would be right at the top. It would have to be. Michael in Atlanta. Bill, also Antonio London. Remember they had Antonio London and Antonio Langham on that defense. Langham was a fantastic corner. Saved the Florida game there at the end with that pick six in the SEC championship game. He said, Bill, Antonio London was a hell of an inside linebacker on that team. He was from Tullahoma, Tennessee. Home of George Dickel, right? One of the things Cosby used to say 20 years ago is he'd talk about drinking Tullahoma tea, which is Dickel. Remember, and it was always Dickel number 12. Rodney down in Georgia in the 478. Bill, first game of the season where DJ was the guy for Clemson, they faced Georgia and that 21 defense. I really believe he came out of that game seeing ghosts because the whole game he had N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith, and Adam Alexander in his face rolling him up. He had happy feet the whole game. That was a very low-scoring game. Georgia won and went on to win the Natty. But that was a tough guy football game, man. You're talking about, remember the other day we were talking about baseball is a battle of the strike zone. If you just boil it down to its simplest common denominator, if you will, or simplest description, there's 72 it was that big of a plate. There's 17 inches width on that plate, and that's where everything's judged, right there. Football, you could boil it down to, okay, the big guys, big on big, the trenches, the phone booth, we call it often on the show. You want to boil it down? That's where it's happening. That was a big-on-big phone booth ball game, man. I enjoy those games. We have not been able to track Dave Hooker. Don't know what happened there. TJ a little bit, about 25 minutes ago, if you missed that. You can check that out on the replays. And hour three, about 20 minutes in, J.C. Sherman up in Chicago, thebigspur.com, tomorrow at the Omni.
Good morning. That earlier crash in the Brentwood area has traffic still slow go. They crashed there on 65 northbound near Concord Road. That's why it's been slow coming up through Williamson County. All it did was aggravate that heavy morning rush hour traffic that's trying to get up through there anyway on 65 northbound. Again, it's pretty slow up by Cool Springs. Traffic still heavy over here on 24 westbound. As you come in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County up through Antioch, wrapping up that crash, 24 east. It's right near Briley Parkway as traffic starts to slow again, 65 Place out there at Trinity Lane. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu. Check it out today. Order online, princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge of your seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Warrior fan, can't believe I'm about to say it. You just got beamed. Devastating evening for the Dubs. Devastating, in fact, for anybody who has pulled for this Warriors dynasty. It truly did feel like the end of an era. And if not the end of an era, maybe the end of Klay Thompson's era at Golden State. What a terrible way to go. You gotta feel for him. Disastrous night for a class guy and a rough night for a class organization.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
His body clock is set to college football and nothing else. It's Bill King.
You're listening to The Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter.
We just mentioned when TJ was with us that Enter Sandman, Virginia Tech's pretty cool entrance. And I'm not trying to start a conversation about the best entrances. I'm not. I don't like those. I don't like that gimmicky stuff that shows pull when it comes to something like that. I was just remarking about Enter Sandman. But, Stephen down in Athens said, Bill, an underrated one is Mississippi State's To Whom the Bell Tolls. He says that's underrated. Not bad. Yeah, not bad. That one, just for me now, doesn't rev me up like Enter Sandman. Just the crescendo of that song. You're about to watch football, which is physical in nature, so you're all fired up about it. But yeah, no, that one's a good one. That one's a good one. How many of you go back in time to when Tennessee had the walking horse that would go around the stadium pregame? Yeah, that got stopped, but they did that for a long, long time. You'd have to go back a few years, though, on that one. Yeah, you'd have to go back just a little bit. Jeff 2, Bill, Lemanski Hall played at Valley High, located in East Central Alabama, on the Georgia line. In high school, he was a quarterback, running back, linebacker, DB. His high school team was loaded, including Hall and four future NFL players. On that, wow, Hall, John Copeland, I didn't realize that. Josh Evans was on that team. And also Marcus Pollard. That's wicked. That is absolutely wicked. Johnny Vegas says, DJ, you had better stats in 23 than Cabe Klubnik. DJ, you had 2,634 yards, 21 TDs, 7 interceptions. Klubnik, 2,844, but 19 TDs and 9 interceptions. He says, in my opinion, DJ was the starter at Clemson. He had no help in the receiving core. He did not have a lot around him. That started deteriorating. I will give you that. I will give you that. The supporting cast members were not what they had been getting. For whatever reason, that was just not clicking at all. And I still think to a certain extent it's a problem for them. Kevin said, Bill, they still do the walking horse every homecoming. I didn't even know that. Now, but didn't they used to do it every home game? 5-6 home games. I thought they did back in the day. It's a pretty cool thing. Yeah, it is. It's, but I remember in the 70s, just as a kid, and the rare time you would get your in-state team on TV, it's not like today. But you can pull up anything. If you get really desperate, you can get it on ESPN Plus, right? But back then, you couldn't. And when their games were on, they would always show that walking horse and that display, and it was cool. That's from the walking horse capital of the planet. Kevin is in Muletown, Shelbyville, which is over by the borough. Is the walking horse capital of the world. Shelbyville. I guess if you live there, it's Shelbyville. But I'm not from there, so I'm not obligated to call it that. It's Shelbyville to me. Which is, I guess I'd be like saying Louisville, even though it's not Louisville, it's Louisville. You gotta be careful. Got to be careful. We have some baseball to watch with intra-league games getting started on Thursday nights. And I was just looking. Tennessee-Missouri is tonight, a three-gamer. Now, I don't know the complete background on it, but Tony Vols, the Tennessee coach, very well known. I don't know that there's a more known baseball coach in America than Tony Vols. He admits he wasn't a very good player at Missouri. His alma mater is Missouri. And I didn't really know there was any bad blood there, but Tony Vols the other day, I think it was after their midweek game, their Tuesday game against the Catamounts of Western Carolina, mentioned back in his Missouri days how the coach, I don't know, they didn't get along or something when he was on the staff. And then at one point he's coaching third base and he's getting screamed at, and I don't know if that was down in Arkansas when he was on the Arkansas staff, they were playing Missouri. And he said, I worked 90 hours there a week and I got treated bad. I mean, I'm not sure where that came from. Again, I enjoy Tony Vols. I like him. But there's some bad blood there I wasn't altogether familiar with. And Missouri's, you could argue, wouldn't you say Missouri's probably the worst team in the league right now? That doesn't mean they can't win a game. Baseball's different, but that one starts tonight in Rocky Top. I don't know the complete background on that like I would if it was a football type topic. I just don't, but it is funny. Tony Vols is funny. Now we'll get the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. There's still a couple of wrecks under clearing stages. It remains heavy coming up from the south on 65 northbound as you come up to Franklin, Brentwood from some wrecks we had earlier down there in Williamson County. It's still crowded right now, 65 south over here at Trinity Lane. Heavy, but not the worst we've ever seen it on 40 westbound through Hermitage, Donaldson coming in right now from the Mount Juliet area in from Wilson County. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out today at tomahawkcrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to High Valley Conference Basketball Weekly Spotlight, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security. Drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Three men's teams are undefeated after the first week of league play. UT Martin is 2-0 after two road wins, while Morehead State and Western Illinois are 1-0 after also winning on the road. Road teams went 6-3 during the open weekend. Women's teams are even more dominant on the road by going 8-1 last week. Southern Indiana and UT Martin are both 2-0 in OVC play after road wins, while Eastern Illinois, Morehead State, and Western Illinois are each 1-0. The lone women's team to win a home game was Tennessee State, which outlasted Little Rock in overtime. Two of the top three scoring performances in the OVC were last week, with Southern Indiana's Jeremiah Hernandez scoring 35 points at SEMO, while Morehead State's Riley Minix had 34 points 2 days later against the Redhawks. Little Rock's Jameer Chaplin and Morehead State's Riley Minix were named OVC Men's Co-Player and Co-Newcomer of the Week, while Little Rock's Jalen Crocker Johnson was top freshman. Macy McGlone at Eastern Illinois was named the Women's Player of the Week, while top newcomer was Little Rock's Leilana Wimbish Gay. UT Martin's Kenley McCarn was Freshman of the Week. For complete information on this year's OVC Basketball Championships presented by United at Fidelity Bank, which will be March 6th through the 9th at the Ford Center in Evansville, visit www.ovcsports.com/Evansville. This has been the OVC Basketball Weekly Spotlight presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security. If you've been drinking, don't drive, and always remember that fans don't let fans drive drunk. I'm Greg Pogue wishing everybody a great week of OVC basketball. You won't believe it until you OVC it.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hi, I'm Test Director Rick from ServPro, the leader in cleaning, restoration, and construction. It's my job to make sure our pros are prepared for anything. Storm damage? Fixed. Flood damage? We're on it. Fire damage? Not anymore. Aliens? What? Aliens? We cleaned those sites a while ago. No matter the disaster, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Find out why ServPro is the number one choice for residential and commercial restoration projects, large and small. Visit ServPro.com today.
Closer to Bill King, 615-844-5600.
Topwater Assassin talking about the Clemson offense said, Clemson was second in the nation last year in plays ran. Moved the ball pretty good, but they also led the nation in red zone turnovers. Kind of skews things. Some of that's on Cade, but the running backs had a lot of fumbles. Yeah, it is frustrating when you have a team that feels like we can move the ball, and then when you get in the scoring range area, red zone, whatever we're going to call it, and you can't capitalize. Field gets compressed. You're kicking field goals, or in his case, he said sometimes turning the ball over down there. That gets in your head. It absolutely gets in your head. Down there, Mr. Cut, the deity, David Cutcliffe, many years ago. And you know, I'm hot and cold with Cut. I compliment him where I think he deserves absolute complimenting, and I critique him in other areas. But I remember many years ago he was talking to me, one of the times we were speaking, and he said, think players, not plays. You've heard me say that. But that's the first time I'd heard it put in those very concise words. When you're down there, don't overthink it from a play call point of view. Think players, not plays. Now, I guess the caveat would be you better have players who can do what he's saying. How many teams can get to the line of scrimmage in the red zone and say, I've just got a guy here and I don't care what you do. He's going to win the play. He's going to make a play to win the play. Those guys aren't on every street corner, but if you do have that kind of ability, think players, not plays. Get it to a player. Georgia Dog from the Emerald Coast, where we're going to be in 1 week. We'll be heading down right after the show to the Emerald Coast a week from today. Says Billy, in 8 years as a coach in college football, Kirby Smart is already a College Football Hall of Fame coach. I agree. Totally agree. Not eligible for two more years. Who else comes to mind in their first 8 years? Spurrier? How many years had Spurrier been a head coach in 96 when he won it all? How many years? Trying to think. He'd been at Duke. What was his first year at Duke? Somewhere in the late 80s, I believe, when Stephen Orr Spurrier took the job at Duke. Let me check here. He was, well, remember, he was the Tampa Bay Bandits. I just pulled up his wiki. We know wiki is never wrong. It's always right. It's no agenda there with Wikipedia. No. Duke, 87 to 89. So, if we wanted to count Tampa Bay, but we're talking college ball, so we're not going to mention the Bandits. That'd be of the USFL. Duke, 87, 88, 89. That's 3 years there. And then at Florida, he was there 7 years. There was 10 years he won a natty at Florida. Now, it was only his sixth or so year there when he won the natty at Florida. But that was getting it done. Now, I'll say this. I'm not a big fan just because I have had to deal with him. But Philip Fulmer won a national championship, and he was the head coach officially in 93. Now, you could say he was the interim in 92 for part of the year until Majors came back. But he took the job in 93, And in, what, 4 or 5 years, he's got a national championship. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98. Sixth year he wins a natty. And that stretch between 95 and 01, Tennessee was a top national power. I mean, big. And it faded, obviously, but... So even though I don't necessarily like the guy, I have to give him credit. JC coming up in about 20 minutes. JC Sherman, BigSpur.com, Omni Nashville Hotel.